Psalm 1, the first psalm, verse 1, we read, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." There's a man in the text, this man in the psalm, and we are considering him as Christ. Christ is the blessed man that is in this psalm. And this morning I endeavored to show that to you, that it's sound and proper to take this psalm, the first three verses, as concerning Messiah. He's the only man that could ever fulfill this. He's the only man who perfectly, without any fault, in his sinless humanity, that could fulfill this psalm. His life on earth was a fulfilling of this psalm. He's the man. It's proper to call our Savior that. You remember how the Apostle Paul used that expression? It's biblical. He said, "There is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus." You remember Pontius Pilate? And as I said, he was ungodly. He didn't mean what he intended, as it is meant by us. But he said it nonetheless, and it's recorded, before he went to the cross. He's robed in scarlet. He bears the curse upon his head and the crown of thorns. And we are told to behold the man. The man. That's the man that's in the psalm tonight. The humanity of our Lord Jesus Christ is real. He had a true humanity. He is the man. He was born of a human mother. He grew. He developed in normal ways that all men do, from childhood into teens, into adulthood. The Bible tells us concerning the child Jesus that he grew. He waxed strong in spirit, and he was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. He was a man, also demonstrated by his weaknesses. He had human weaknesses and limitations and frailties, such as human nature experiences. He hungered, he thirsted, he wept. He shed real tears, human tears. He grew tired and weary, and he fell asleep in the back of a boat. He felt pain and agony. He suffered, he bled, and he died, because he's the man, true man. But there was something about his humanity that was different from ours. One thing, just one thing, he had no moral weakness, no sin, no spot of iniquity. The Bible tells us this time and time again. The apostle says to the Hebrews, "We have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, with this difference, yet without sin." No sin. He's holy, he's harmless, he's undefiled, he's separate from sinners, just as is described in this first verse of the psalm. Peter says, "And he knew, because he lived with him and watched him closely, who did no sin." And Judas Iscariot, who looked very closely for all fault that he could find, who would have liked to have eased his conscience in betraying him, had to confess that he had betrayed innocent blood. He himself, our Lord Jesus, he looked them in the face, every one of them, all the men and his apostles, and he says, "Which of you convinces me of sin?" And so it's this man, this sinless man, that's in the text. There's none so blessed as the Lord Jesus. And we're told not only that he is the blessed man, we're told why he is the blessed man. Why is he the blessed man? Because he didn't do these things. He didn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly, so on and so forth. He is blessed because he had such purity. He is blessed for his spotlessness, for such obedience and submission to his Father, for such godliness and righteousness, for such redeeming work as he wrought on our behalf as the righteous servant of Jehovah, working our salvation, building the ark that would save us in his person and work. We're told how he is blessed. He's like a tree planted by the rivers of water. He'll always be bringing forth fruit. His leaf will never wither. Everything he puts his hand to will prosper. He'll finish it all. He'll have great success. That's how he'll be blessed. This is only true of one man, our Lord Jesus Christ. This word blessed is a sweet word. And the word also in the Hebrew is plural. It's the blessednesses of the man. Oh, the blessednesses of Christ. His dignity is such that it is heaped upon him. All blessing is upon him. He's the blessed and the blessed one. And why? Because he is the Lamb of God, without spot and blemish. How does Psalm 72 put it? Psalm 72 is another messianic psalm. It applies to the King, to Christ, to Messiah. It is fulfilled in Jesus. And at the end, there is a doxology to this man. We're told in verse 17, his name, this is the Christ, this is the man we're talking about tonight, his name shall endure forever. His name shall be continued as long as the sun, and men shall be blessed in him. And this is a bit that I want to point out to you. All nations shall call him blessed. All the nations will call him blessed. Every nation, everybody who's converted, they'll say he's a blessed one. He's the blessed man. And we're calling him that tonight. The blessed one, the blessed man. We're fulfilling prophecy tonight. We're fulfilling Psalm 72 tonight, for we're calling the one in the psalm tonight the blessed man. Christ loved this word, blessed. He commenced his greatest sermon with it. That's why we read the Sermon on the Mount, the opening part of it, in Matthew chapter 5. It was the first word in the sermon. This word here, blessed. And he commenced the sermon with this word, for he loved this word. He knew what it meant. He knew how precious it is in a man's life. He not only breathed it out once, but I think 10 times. The first 10 breaths, 9 or 10 breaths, he commenced every sentence with this word, blessed. Just as the Psalter commences with blessed. So Jesus commenced his public ministry in the Sermon on the Mount, according to Matthew, with blessed. He loved the word. He breathed out blessing. He himself describes the man in Matthew chapter 5, who is the blessed man. He expounds Psalm 1. Blessed is the man. What kind of a man is that, you ask? Well, Jesus expounded him. Jesus described that man. Poor in spirit. Blessed are they that mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Blessed are the merciful, the pure in heart, the peacemakers, and they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. That's the man who's blessed. And in the Sermon on the Mount, he's describing how men are blessed. But I want you to think about this. He is what he preached. He wills his people to be like him. He is that one. He is that one who is poor in spirit. And he wants his people to be like him, to be blessed as he is blessed, and to have this poverty of spirit as he had in his humanity. And so he's the blessed man who was poor in spirit. He had a rich poverty. He had a deep poverty that went down into his heart. As he himself says, poor in spirit. Well, there's plenty of people poor in material goods and poor in literal things and outward things and external things. But there's only one man who is perfectly poor in spirit. And that's the man in the psalm, the Lord Jesus Christ. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Apostle Paul says, though he was rich. We looked at that this morning around the Lord's table. Yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might be rich. In Philippians, the apostle says he was in the form of God. He didn't think it robbery to be equal with God. But he made himself of no reputation. He took upon him the form of a servant. He was made in the likeness of men. And being found in a fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He was poor in spirit. He went low. Blessed are they that mourn, he said. And Christ was that man who mourned. He mourned as one who lived in a faithless and perverse world. You remember how coming down from the Mount of Transfiguration, he was met by the crowd and all the unbelief and all the fault-finding amongst them. And he says, oh, faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I suffer you? How long shall I be with you? He mourned the unbelief. He mourned the perverseness. Just as Christians do today, the perverseness of our society, the perverseness of the laws that are being brought upon our nation, the corruption in all levels of society, and it makes God's people mourn. And Christ mourned that perverseness, and his whole life was a life of mourning. He mourned in the synagogues. He mourned in the temples. He overthrew the tables of the money changers with a broken heart. He mourned at the graveside of the dead. He mourned in the houses and in the streets of the land. He began to be sorrowful, the apostle said on one occasion, and to be very heavy. And on another occasion we read that Jesus saw her weeping, and he saw all the Jews weeping. And when he saw everybody weeping, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. He's the blessed man who mourned, who could mourn with the bereaved and the sorrowful. And he mourned on the tree, on the cross, as we know. He's the blessed man, truly. Blessed are they that are meek, he says. The blessed man is a meek man. And Jesus is a meek man. He himself said, and only he could say it, in true humility, without any pride or sinfulness, but it was just the truth and the reality. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls because of it. You remember how the prophets said, and the apostles reminded us of it whenever Jesus sat on the ass to go into Jerusalem, behold, thy king cometh on to thee, meek. He's meek. And sitting upon an ass. Not riding in a chariot. Not riding in with vast armies. But no, just riding on an ass with the truth of God under his arm and the promise of his Father in his heart and that law of his God written upon his soul. Meek. Remember how Paul wrote to the Corinthians, and they were a problematic church, and oh, they were bickering and fighting, and they were filled with all kinds of pride and divisions, and Paul had to get on his hands and knees before them in his epistle. He says, I beseech you, by the meekness and gentleness of Jesus Christ, he's a blessed man. None so meek, none so gentle. Peter noticed it. When he was reviled, he reviled not again. When he suffered, he didn't speak out and threaten back. No. He just committed himself to God that judgeth righteously, and he went as a lamb to the slaughter. Meek and lowly. He shall not strive nor cry. Neither shall any man hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he shall not break, and the smoking flax he'll not quench with waters. No. There's a meekness about him, a gentleness. He's the blessed man that hungered and thirsted after righteousness, because that man is blessed that so does. And Jesus is that. In fact, the whole psalm is really about that. He doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. He doesn't stand in the way of sinners. He doesn't sit in the seat of the scornful. His delight is in the law of the Lord. And every night and every day, he's thinking about the law of God, and it's in his heart, and he's meditating upon it. Why? Because there's a righteousness about him. The righteousness of the law is in his heart. He's hungry and thirsting after righteousness. He's a righteous man, and thus he is the blessed man. Do you remember how he said to John the Baptist, Now, John, I know you don't want to baptize me. You have difficulties with that, and I can understand that, but it becomes us to fulfill all righteousness. And this is important, this baptism, as part of that righteousness that I must live. So just baptize me and obey God. And so he baptized him. And what does the psalm say? Psalm 40, and again it's Jesus speaking. Christ is in the psalms. Lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. He's hungering and thirsting after righteousness. What did he say? My meat. Oh, the rest of them were way down to the shop. The rest of them couldn't do without their lunch and without their dinner. But he sat on still at the well. And whenever they come back, they're amazed. Is he not hungry? Why is he talking to this woman? Oh, he says, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me. I'm hungering and thirsting after righteousness. I'm hungering and thirsting to do the will of my Father and to finish his work. He said, I have kept my Father's commandments. And so he is hungering and thirsting after righteousness. He's a blessed man. He's describing himself, and he wants his people to be like himself as well, to hunger and thirst after righteousness. Blessed are the merciful. We don't have to say much about that, do we? Just read the four Gospels. We meet it everywhere. Read the miracles. They're all the works of the blessed man, the merciful man, the merciful man of Calvary. How did Paul put it to all the saints? You know. I don't have to enlarge upon it. I don't have to expand upon it. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know he is merciful. You know it. And Matthew and Mark and Luke and John are pointing it out all the time. Jesus went forth. He saw a great multitude. He was moved with compassion towards them, merciful. You remember the two blind men? What does it say? Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes. And you remember the leper? There he is, cowering down there, afraid even to look at Jesus. Oh, have mercy upon me, Jesus. I'm a poor, diseased leper. And Jesus moved with compassion. He put forth his hand on the man. Be thou clean. What does the Bible say? He was moved with compassion and put forth his hand and touched him. Do you remember the demoniac of Gadara? The poor man, he wanted to follow Jesus. And to his great disappointment, the Lord said, no. But go home to your friends. And you just tell them how great things the Lord hath done for you and hath had compassion on you. Mercy. He had mercy on you. Remember the widow of Nain? When the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her. Blessed are the merciful. And then behold him upon the cross, dying for our sins, the blessed man in our stead, the merciful man, granting the sinner life and peace, granting the captive sweet release, shedding his blood to make us free, merciful man of Calvary. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed is the man. It's Jesus. Can you not see that? He's the one in the psalm. Blessed are they that are pure in heart. How deep was the heart purity of Jesus? It wasn't surface. Oh, yes, we can have an outward purity. We can keep ourselves in the eyes of the public and in the eyes of men. In a sense, we can be externally blameless. But very few of us are pure in heart. And certainly none like Jesus. Pure in heart. It reaches down into the depths of his soul. He is spotless within. The prince of this world cometh, he says. But there's nothing in me that he has to get hold of. Pure in heart. Pure in heart is the man of Calvary, our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I was recently listening to a converted Muslim being interviewed. He was Iranian. He had emigrated to the United States of America with his parents. And at university, he came in contact with true Christians. And he said in the interview, he said that Muslims in the Middle East, they associate Christianity with the decadence of the West. The West is Christian, the United States is Christian, the United Kingdom is Christian, and they associate Christianity with those communities. And of course, full of murder and full of abominations, and the Hollywood movies, they make their way over to Iran and to the Arabic countries, and they see these movies on the black market or whatever illegally. This is the Christian West. This is Christianity. This is what it leads to. And he said he would never have converted. And he would never have read the Bible because he identified the Christian religion with this perverseness. And many Muslims think like that. He wanted to convert his Christian friends. And he gave them the Quran and, well, the condition was, we'll take your Quran and we'll read the Quran. If you take our Bible and read it, he promised he would. He began reading the New Testament. And when he came to the Sermon on the Mount, he began to see the blessed man. Not the Hollywood movies, not the Christian nation, so-called, with all the perverseness. He began to see Christ, the man, the founder, as it were, of true Christianity. And he saw you can't judge Christ by the Western lifestyle and values. He read these Beatitudes. He read How Jesus said, you have heard that it have been said, thou shalt not kill. But whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you, whosoever is angry with his brother is in danger of the judgment. And you've heard that it said, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, that whosoever looks on a woman to lust after her has already committed it in his heart. And he began to see this man. And he began to listen to Christ. And he saw the purity that came out of his heart. And he began to know this was beyond Islam. This was beyond the Quran. This was something he had not met. This was something he had not heard tell of. He saw the purity. And he said, I want to know this man. I want to follow him. I want to commit to him. He was won by the pureness of the heart of this man. He come to see that he was God. He come to believe in the Trinity in time. But this is where it began. As he met the man, listening to him in the Sermon on the Mount. You know, just give a Muslim a New Testament. Just give a Jew a New Testament. And let the blessed man cause them to read. And let the blessed man himself encounter them in his word. You don't have to convert them. You can't do anything to convert them. Just give them the word. Let Christ convert them. And he will, and he does. Many Muslims have been converted by this means. He's the blessed man that was a peacemaker. Blessed are the peacemakers. And he's the Prince of Peace himself. And he was wounded for our transgressions, and he was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him. He's the one who has reconciled sinners to God. He's the peacemaker. Remember how he said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Paul says he's our peace. He's broken down the middle wall of partition between us Jews and Gentiles, and he's reconciled us in one body unto himself in the cross. He's a peacemaker. Makes sinners at peace with God. He makes sinners at peace with one another, especially Jews and Gentiles. That's what Christ does. He's the man who's the peacemaker, the true peacemaker. Having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, that is by this man. He's a blessed man also for righteousness' sake. He was persecuted and he suffered. And I don't have to say much about that. He's blessed. He's rewarded. He's at the right hand of God for his righteousness. And so blessed are the pure in heart. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the meek. They'll inherit the earth. This man, this blessed man of Psalm 1, Jesus Christ, his is the kingdom of God. He's the king of it. He is all over it. And he is bringing his subjects into it because he's a blessed man. And he's going to inherit the earth because he's a blessed man. And all nations are going to call him blessed. And all nations are going to come before him and worship him. He's going to inherit the earth because he's a blessed man. And he saw God, for he was pure in heart. And he went right into the throne room of God after his resurrection. And he saw God, and he sat at the right hand of his Father. And his Father says, sit there, my son. There is none as pure in heart as you. You just sit there and make all the heathen your inheritance. He saw God. And all of these things are fulfilled in Christ. He has all glory and honor. He's blessed. His head is crowned with the crown of pure gold. He's crowned with blessing. He's like Joseph. It said of Joseph, he has all the blessings upon his head. The blessings on the head of Joseph, on the crown of him that was separate from his brethren. And our Jesus is like that today. He's the man of Calvary. And now he is blessed at the right hand of God. And all the blessings are heaped upon him. He's crowned with glory and honor. Our heavenly Joseph. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. He'll receive the crown of life. And Jesus endured, and he's crowned with all glory. And we have seen in the book of the Revelation that they sing to him. And among the things that they sing to him are the words, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory. And blessing." He receives blessing. Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. Among the things that are heaped upon him is this word blessing. He is the blessed man. He is enjoying that blessedness right at this minute, at the right hand of his Father. How happy our Lord Jesus Christ is. How his heart swells with the blessednesses that he enjoys there. The joy that was set before him for which he endured the cross. He says in Psalm 16, "My heart is glad. My glory rejoiceth. Thou wilt not leave my soul in hell. Thou wilt not suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt raise me from the dead. Thou wilt set me at thy own right hand. Thou wilt show me the path of life in thy presence. I will know the fullness of joy. At thy right hand I will know the pleasures forevermore." It's him in Psalm 16. He's the blessed man. Blessed abundantly. Blessed richly. Blessed in the highest seat of heaven. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Oh, the unbounded happinesses of Jesus Christ. And he has great joy there. Great blessing there. The blessing of preparing heaven for his people. The joy of drawing them to himself and soon coming again to get them to be with him forever and ever. The blessednesses of seeing his seed in glory with him and all of them beholding his glory as he desires and prays. He's going to enjoy that blessing. Oh, Father, those that you've given me, that soon they'll be with me to see my glory that you have given me. Oh, when shall I enjoy that blessedness? You'll enjoy it soon, my son. In time. Oh, there's more for Christ. More of the blessednesses that man is to experience. Paul says, made a little lower than the angels. Quoting Psalm 8 again. Paul saw Christ in Psalm 8. Little lower than the angels, but crowned with glory and honor. And then I remind you of Psalm 72. His name shall endure forever. His name shall be continued as long as the sun. And men shall be blessed in him. And all nations call him blessed. Now we saw that he's called blessed in that psalm, as he's called blessed in Psalm 1. But it also shows how he is blessed. His name will endure forever. That's how he's blessed. His name will continue as long as the sun. That's how he's blessed. And men? Men are going to be blessed in him. That's how he's blessed. When men are blessed in him. And so not only is Christ the blessed man enjoying blessedness, but he is the blessed man bestowed it. He is accounted worthy to receive all blessings because he alone is worthy to bestow all blessings. Do you know why he is the blessed man? He didn't have to be the blessed man. He could have stayed up there in heaven, but he became man. He came down to heaven to be the blessed man. Why? So that he, being so blessed, it may flow out of him and pour over out of him and come into our lives and we be blessed in him. That's the kind of man that it is in this psalm. Such blessedness that it flows out of him, it overpours out of him, and it reaches unto us sinners. He was blessed for us, not for himself merely, for he is the everlasting blessed God. But he became man, that the blessing he received as our mediator may be given to us. He's blessed for us. And so I hope you understand, he came not to just be blessed for himself, for eternally he was blessed, but he came to be the blessed man for us. That the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles through him, as Paul says. And in thy seed, Abraham was told, in Christ, in Messiah, all the nations shall be blessed. It's through this man in the psalm. Psalm 67 is about him. He's the God that blesses us. Oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy. For thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon the earth. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Then shall the land yield her increase. And God, even our God, shall bless us. God shall bless us. And all the ends of the earth shall fear him. He's a blessed man in whom alone you can be blessed. You'll not be blessed in anybody else, men and women. You'll never know the everlasting blessedness apart from the Blessed One, Jesus. Being joined to him by faith, trusting in him, trusting in the man in the psalm, trusting in him, looking to the Blessed One for everlasting blessedness. There's only one man who has such blessing. That man is Christ Jesus. How does the prophet put it? A man. Here is a mystery. A man. A man shall be as an hiding place from the wind. A man shall be as a covert from the tempest. A man shall be as rivers of water in a dry place. A man shall be as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. That man is the blessed man. That's Christ. That's Christ. In exalting the humanity of our Lord, we are not removing the dignity of his person as divine. He is the God-man. He's no mere man. He's Emmanuel, as we said this morning, God with us. He's the man that is the fellow, the neighbor of Jehovah. The man that is my fellow, the Lord God of hosts calls him, my neighbor. Now, a neighbor is someone who has the same nature as yourself. Who is your neighbor? Your neighbor's another man. He has a nature like yourself. And who's God's neighbor? Because that's what the word fellow is, neighbor. Who's God's neighbor? His son. His son has the divine nature. The man that is my neighbor. It's Christ. The man born. The son given. The mighty God. You need to come to him today. You need to know him. If you've never loved him, you need to love him. Believe on this man, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. So come to him, and come today, and come without delay, and look for him in all the Psalms. Because if he's in the preface psalm, that's the Holy Spirit telling us he's in the whole Psalter. He's everywhere. So look for Christ in the Psalms.